Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Red hot comic book movie news.
Paper news of the Earth.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows.
Oh, another one.
Another one. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
Another one. Who says that? What famous rapper is like?
That guy that sucks. Yeah.
Narrow it down.
I won't.
Okay, then.
Figure it out.
Okay. Was it DJ Khaled?
Yes.
Okay, he's not a rapper, really.
He doesn't do that thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I understand. Sure. Yeah. Not even at Christmas time?
I don't know. Wow. I don't know his personal habits.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, big week, Mason.
Big week.
Because we're talking about the movie Wonka.
Oh, yeah.
I wish it was the only thing we were talking about, though.
Do you think so?
We've got so much news.
Okay. Wait, so you'd rather not cover the news? You'd rather just talk about Wonka for an hour plus?
Exclusively Wonka.
Do you think you could talk about the movie Wonka for an hour plus?
For money, definitely.
Wow, okay, sure.
Yeah. Oh, he's sliding me some money. Ooh, $5.50, very good.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right.
But no, we've got some news to get to. We've got the passing of Andre Brouwer.
Very sad.
We've got
that sounded sarcastic, but it genuinely is.
Yeah. We've got the first reviews for Rebel Moon Part 1.
Ooh,
excited for that.
Rebel Remuse. Mm-hmm.
We've got the future of Aquaman in the DCU.
Not the future of Aquaman.
That's right. We've got James Gunn talking about cameos, superhero cameos in movies, and why he does not like them.
Oh yes.
What's this thing? Oh. Zachary Levi had some comments to say about James Gunn's brother in...
Which may have been taken out of context, I think.
We'll talk about it.
Not talk about it.
You're right. Let's just talk about Wonka, which is what I wanted to do.
Okay, great.
We've got trailers for Dune Part 2. We've got Beverly Hills Cop 4. The movie If and Alex Garland's Civil War. Hideo Kojima is doing a movie adaptation of something. And guess what, Mason?
What?
The Rock's going art house.
He is, that's true.
Big time, which is something that we suggested.
I mean, maybe he is.
He's going art house, mate. Yeah, he's
going
to be more art house
than
you.
He's going A24, but where's A24 going is the
art house.
Even more art house?
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Also, Collings has been kind enough. Collings, who edits this, Mason.
Love Collings.
To put together the survey of all the best and worst of stuff of the year.
That's right.
It's linked in the description. So basically what we do the Weekly Planet Awards, and it happens that the last episode of the year will actually be the first episode of next year, and then we're going to take a break. Don't even worry about it. It's going to come out Monday, January 1st.
That's right.
And so it's basically collating what everybody thinks is the best, worst, weirdest, who's got the best hair.
That's right.
Our classic The Game Is On Award.
That's right.
Best movie which tries to make a sequel happen.
Find and Replace Award.
Yeah.
For the movie that seems most like it was just a generic movie and they slapped a recognizable IP on it.
Exactly.
Will I think of one this year? Who knows?
Ghosted.
But anyway, get in there and vote or whatever it is you do.
That's right.
Get in
there. There are no prizes.
No prizes.
Yeah.
Not even a Marvel no prize. Not even an empty envelope.
No. I mean, there's cash to be won.
Yeah.
But other than that, there aren't any prizes.
But in order to win the cash, you have to go to a casino and gamble with your own money. So that's unrelated to us.
That is actually officially linked, though. No, I managed to sort that out this week.
Oh, that's great. Terrific.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with this. So Andre Brouwer has passed away at age 61.
Too young.
And you might know him as, more recently, is as Raymond Holt in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
That's right.
Now, I wouldn't say that I love that show, but I think he is terrific.
I think he's got some of the best line deliveries you can imagine, you know?
That's right. And I can imagine great line deliveries. And he often did that and then beyond.
It's true, yes.
He's in the movie Glory, Homicide: Life on the Street. So he did like a serious police procedural.
Yeah.
He's in Primal Fear. I didn't see a lot of people mention this, but he's in the movie Frequency. And have you ever seen the movie Frequency?
Of course I've seen the movie Frequency.
Yeah, I love the movie Frequency.
It's Dennis Quaid and he's in a bloody, he's got a radio.
He's talking to his son in the future or whatever. That's right. Jim Caviezel. He was all right then, probably.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Who knows?
So, yeah, it was revealed that he passed away due to lung cancer. It said it was a short illness. And, yeah, 61, like, that's dreadful. I mean, you know, it's older than some, but younger than a lot of people.
That's very true.
So, yeah, I mean, great legacy, you know, like, just amazing work. And, again, some of the best line delivery you'll see, you know.
Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
What?
He's in it. He's one of the generals.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's probably the best Fantastic Four movie. So credit to him, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, R.I.P. That sucks. Again, it's never somebody you want it to be. Never happens, you know?
That's right.
So rarely. Oh, no, remember I was like, we got a good one recently. I said that a while back.
Did you?
It was Cardinal George Pell.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That was a great one. That was a beautiful
day. Oh,
he's
also great in, did you ever see Men of a Certain Age?
Oh, I didn't see it. It was him and Ray Romano.
Yeah, it was the thing that Ray Romano did post Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
It was like a single camera, like comedy drama situation. Mm. It was really good. I really like Men of a Certain Age.
No, I never saw it. How many seasons? A couple of seasons?
Don't know. No way of knowing.
Good on him. I saw somebody asked Ray Romano about like a reboot of that, of his original show.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, no, never. No, I won't. Don't make me. Yeah, so there you go.
Not even as like an executive producer.
No, he said.
The Further Adventures of Everyone Loves Raymond?
No.
Wow.
No.
Only some people love Raymond now?
There is a reboot. It's called Everybody Hates Chris. They flipped it.
Oh, sure did, yeah.
Very clever.
Mm-hmm.
So Rebel Moon Part 1 is Zack Snyder's next hotly anticipated movie. It is going straight to streaming. It's getting a very, 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 very limited cinematic release.
I see.
Not here. I was looking for some session times. It's going to be out on the 22nd of December. We will be talking about it next week.
Mm. Well, I've just searched for Rotten Tomatoes in Google because that's how I do this.
And it's looking good, isn't it?
It's looking good, but
the website is looking good.
Yeah, one of the first clickable links is Rebel Moon Part 1. So it's hot stuff over at Rotten Tomatoes. I can tell you right now that the tomatometer?
Yeah.
Tomatometer?
Yeah.
How are we saying that?
Tomatometer.
Using the tomatometer, there's 42 professional reviews, or at least critic reviews.
Yeah.
And with a rotten rating of 24%.
Yeah.
And the audience score with 250-plus ratings is 72%.
Isn't that incredible?
So who's seen this? What's going on?
No audience has seen it. It's mostly like exclusively critics at this point.
Then where's this audience score coming from?
It's almost as if none of this means anything.
Critics' consensus says Rebel Moon, Part 1, Child of Fire. I'm not saying that every time. I tell you that much.
You're going to have to. You're a professional and you're going to have to.
Rebel Moon, Part 1, A Child of Fire.
Thank you.
Proves Zack Snyder hasn't lost his visual flair, but eye candy isn't enough to offset a storyline made up of various sci-fi fantasy tropes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Got some. This is from Everything Interesting, who says, A Child of Fire shamelessly draws influences from a number of other sources without bothering to come up with a single original idea. Fresh Fiction says, what should have been an inspired homage to sci-fi classics comes across as cribbed from cliff notes scribbled down by a sleep-deprived student who only paid half attention in film class.
Brutal.
It's a vapid byproduct of outsized ambitions. And IndieWire says, a movie that feels like a million isolated storyboards without a single thing welding them together. Now, a common criticism of Zack Snyder is that he's not like the best writer. Like visually, sure. Yeah, he can bring that together. And this is a product that and I say product because that's what everything is now, isn't it, Mason?
Ooh.
It's like it's his own story idea.
He's the third build writer after Shea Hatton and Kurt Johnstadt.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Sound like made-up people, quite frankly.
Yeah. So
they may as well be called John Hatrack and Kurt Hatstand.
Kurt's two kids in a trench coat.
That's right.
Yeah, I like – and, you know, we've talked about his movies before. Well, this week we're talking about the Snyder Cut for Justice League and Caravan of Garbage, which is a movie, believe it or not, that I quite like. But that – he has been accused before of like, yeah, he has the visual flair, but, you know, not anything else. But I don't think that's strictly true because, you know, I think he's got a lot of, you know, good movies and even like solid moments in OK movies.
Sure, okay.
And
yeah.
I was really, and I hope it still is because I haven't seen it. I hope this is really good because I would love like a competitor to Star Wars,
yes,
like a
absolutely.
Weird sci-fi universe.
I mean, even if the first one, I mean, this is Part 1.
Mm.
Even if the first one isn't great, I'm hoping to stick with it and be like, you know, let's see what we can turn this into.
Well, there's going to be video games and comic books and prequel animated series and all sorts of things. Yeah.
Um, what I was going to say is that that second to last review really put the boot in, and I'm wondering if
Oh, there's time codes below. Collings put them in there if you want to skip.
You
want
to skip this talk?
Not this, but you wouldn't skip this.
I mean, the competing impulses here are the the Snyder fans who are going to say it's great no matter what.
Yes,
and reviewers who are like, This is a creator we can put the boot into.
Yeah, and we know it gets clicks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's
because he seems very nice.
He does seem very nice. The bit there where it's like, oh, it feels like all the stupid idiot film student who doesn't know anything, and maybe he fell over and hit his head, and then he came up with some stupid ideas in 1 minute.
Imagine if somebody hit Forrest Gump in the head with a hammer, and then he directed a movie. Right. Collings, edit out that bit where I stumbled over that great joke, please.
Love that. Yeah. Then it'll seem like the perfect joke.
It does seem cruel, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm hoping to enjoy this, but at the same time, there's been two trailers, and I've had to watch them both multiple times to glean anything out of them.
Yeah,
like I watch the trailers, and my mind wanders while I'm watching them. I'm like, I even went like, I'll put everything aside.
Yep.
And I'll just
for the day,
and I'll really focus on these trailers. And I'm like, nah, it's not going in.
Yeah,
it's not going in. It's just,
I mean, if it is like derivative of like Star Wars and Alien and whatever else and Blade Runner, et cetera, and
it is,
yeah, then that, you know, that is a shame. But, you know, maybe at least some cool visuals, you know?
I hope so.
Yeah.
But none of them spring to mind.
Yeah. I think this might go the way of Army of the Dead, which was supposed to balloon out into multiple whatevers.
Mm,
and
they
did that one prequel, which was a heist.
That's right.
And then they killed it.
Mm. Swedish safecracker man.
Yeah. There might have been other stuff.
The movie.
Yeah. There might have been other comics and whatever, I don't really know, but that's not a franchise you hear much about. So yeah, there you go. Next up, Mason, we've got Aquaman 2 news.
Okay.
It's out this week in some places in the world. Not Australia. It's not out till Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
So we can't be talking about it yet, unfortunately. Right. And believe me, we want to be talking about it.
We want to be talking about it.
Jason Momoa.
It's the first movie in the DCU or the last movie in the DCEU or neither. It's in no man's land or no man's water.
Very good.
It's in no man's waters.
It's not in there. No. Don't even bother looking. Mm. Jason Momoa spoke to Entertainment Tonight, and they asked him about, like, what's next for the character.
Uh-huh.
And first of all, he's Lobo. Not official yet, but he is Lobo.
He looks like Lobo.
Yeah.
He's evolved into Lobo.
And he did tell everybody he's Lobo.
Yeah, he did say that.
Yeah. He said, I don't necessarily want it to end, but I don't think it's really like a choice. The truth of it is, I mean, if the audience loves it, then there is a possibility. But right now, I'm like, it's not looking good.
So if the audience love it, there's a possibility, but right now it's not looking good. So you think the audience isn't going
to
love it?
No, I think he's referring to like the way it's tracking, because it's tracking pretty low.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, which isn't like incredibly surprising.
Ideal.
And not ideal. The last one made $1 billion, and I think they went, wow, then we can just make another one and then $2 billion?
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. That doesn't apply.
Should we spend any money on marketing? No, we'll just get Jason Momoa and Patrick Wilson to do like a TikTok dance. Did you see that clip?
No.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Do I have to give you any money for this?
No.
Okay, so I can keep this $5.50 that you gave me to talk about the movie.
Damn it.
Wonka.
I'm going to need that later.
I don't think so.
Let's see if I can find it.
Bottle of Coke now, 600 mil. That'll cost me $5 alone, mate, depending where you go. Go to a service station.
James, you're going to want to watch this.
I'm going to want to watch it.
I've never watched this with volume on, so let's see what happens.
All right.
Okay.
What is this from?
Looks like a premiere or a fan screening or something.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good, right?
I guess.
Patrick Wilson's going for it. That's all
he's
I'm saying.
Going for. Look, I will say this. That was not worth it.
No. In retrospect, you're right.
This paused longer than will be in the podcast for Mason to set that up, and it was not worth it.
Let's extend the pause. Let's make it longer.
I said this about the Child of Fire, whatever that last one was called. I'd love it to be cool and good, and I like James Wan and whatever. But maybe
Child of Fire,
Rebel Moon, Child of Fire. The first one's called The Lightbringer or Man of Action. I don't know. What are they called?
I don't know.
And that's the problem, also, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What are they called?
Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon.
Mm.
Yeah. So there you go.
You just call the first one Rebel Moon. What do you?
And the second one, Second Rebel Moon.
That's right.
It's been a Second Rebel Moon. It's the Seven Samurai. That's what that is, because that was his original Star Wars pitch.
Oh right.
It's a new Star Wars.
So the original Star Wars pitch.
Yeah, he went to George Lucas and he said, excuse me, sir.
Are you using that old one? Are you using the old pitch that you had where it was Seven Samurai? Are you using that one?
Yeah.
Oh, can I use it again? Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't own this anymore. I don't care. Now get out of this food court. I'm having a nice day
in Adelaide
with my Chinese takeaway and my Diet Coke. Get out of here. I'm George Lucas.
So James Gunn took to Threads this week. He's the only one doing that. Well, Zach... Oh, Ricardo Montalban.
Yes, that's right.
James Gunn has Threads. Zack Snyder has Vero. That's how they operate, isn't it?
Right, yes.
Each director should have their own social media platform.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
It would be.
You could use the designer of the Jeremy Renner app. He could make a custom UI for everybody. That'd be great.
So he said, he was talking about cameos, like superhero cameos in films, and he said, because the people have been asking, like, well, you certainly seem to be casting a lot of superhero characters in your superhero movie. Well,
that's right. Your solo movie, Superman solo movie.
Which is not a problem, because in a comic book, if you read a comic book, every character in a comic book is... In a superhero comic book, is a superhero character.
That's true. Well,
that's how it goes.
Yeah.
And sometimes
it's superhero characters and boring guys.
Yeah.
And Lois Lane is there.
That's right. So the whole point was it's not a large film. I mean, not in terms of cast. This is Superman Legacy. It's normal for a single protagonist film to have other characters. Much more unusual for them to not.
That's so true.
Clearly, he's never seen the movie Buried with Ryan Reynolds.
I was going to say, yeah, this isn't.
That had two characters, Ryan Reynolds and a snake. Snake got into that grave, remember?
Right. They should have called it Snake in a Grave. Featuring Ryan Reynolds. Snake in a Grave introducing Ryan Reynolds.
He says, I call that cameo port. It has been one of the worst elements of recent superhero films.
And yet also on Threads or Twitter or whatever it was, when somebody was like, what's your favorite movie of the year? And he's like, The Flash.
No, I don't believe you. He hasn't seen it. I don't think he's seen it.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
If a character is in film, they have to have a reason to be there story-wise. Yeah, so I don't disagree with any of that, except for that thing about The Flash, which is obviously not true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Zachary Levi, he spoke to comicbookmovie.com for an interview. And
maybe he should zip it.
No, I think it's fine. They were speaking to him about, your role in upcoming DC stuff. And he said, I'd love to do a movie with Ryan Reynolds or whatever. Nathan Fillion, because they're friends and whatever.
Well, wouldn't we all?
And he said, and they were talking about like Sean Gunn and how like multiple people take on multiple roles. And they got to the point where he realized that Sean Gunn is Calendar Man and also Weasel, and now he's going to be Maxwell Lord.
Right.
I don't remember him being Calendar Man, but he probably was.
Was that in The Suicide Squad?
I assume so. I don't know.
He might have been in one of the prison scenes.
I don't remember, to be honest. I like that movie, but I don't remember that. Hey, that's got a lot of superhero cameos in it.
James Gunn. Yeah. You hold your bloody horses.
Yeah. So he said, when you're the brother of the guy who runs
hold your bloody super, what's the name of the super horse? What's his name?
Superman's horse.
Yeah.
Super horse.
No, it's not. He's the super horse.
Crypto the super horse.
No, that's Crypto the super dog. I'll think of it.
Superman has a super horse?
Yes. No, a Supergirl has a super horse.
Oh.
But he was a man and he got turned into a super horse.
That's good.
And he's in love with Supergirl.
That can't be.
Well, it can't be because he's a horse.
I'm going to veto that.
Well, all right. Yep.
Can it talk?
No, because otherwise he'd be like, hey, I used to be a man and I'm in love with you.
What
Supergirl.
Are you doing later?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm a horse.
That's right.
I acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But I reckon I could get a custom tuxedo. We could go to the opera.
That's right. I could order two pairs of jeans on Amazon.com, have them delivered.
And how does a horse wear pants, you know?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
He said, when you're the brother of the guy who runs DC, I guess
you're adding that emphasis yourself.
Yeah, because that was the headline, right?
Yeah.
And then I went and watched the interview and he just kind of says it like, yeah, if you're the brother of the DC, then whatever. Like it wasn't. It sounded more like he was defending him playing multiple minor roles because he was like, he's Maxwell Lord. He's like, yeah, but whatever. Like he played like a weasel and whatever. Who cares? It's like he can appear. So I think that kind of got blown out of proportion.
Yeah, he's been cast as a villain.
That's right.
Because of all his weird behavior and all the other things he said.
That's right.
Comet the Super Horse.
Whoa.
That's right.
What's the thing about him being a man?
Okay, well, look.
Give me some origin.
According to Wikipedia here, there's two.
All right.
The first was a sapient horse with magical powers who was once a centaur in ancient Greece. The second character...
That's boring.
The second character is a shapeshifter with three forms, male, female, and winged centaur. Yeah.
There's not a man who turned into a horse permanently.
Well, maybe the man became the centaur.
Maybe.
Well, we've got listings for pre-crisis comet and post-crisis comet.
Oh, God.
Oh, did you know they brought back Beppo the super monkey?
I didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
Is he from Krypton?
You can take that and put it in your pocket. No, I think he probably
your
was
phone. Hand it over.
Yeah, I think he was a regular monkey.
Okay, and he got Kryptonite powers or whatever.
Yeah. No, wait, he's a Kryptonian monkey. I apologize.
How did he get to Earth? Did his parents put him in a little ship and
Let's
whatever?
Let's find out.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
We're just going to go down the list of animals that came
from
Krypton.
Okay, he's from the planet Krypton.
Yeah, we know.
He was originally one of Jor-El's test animals. He stowed away aboard baby Kal-El's rocket. Upon landing, he hopped out unseen and went off on his own for some time. And he lived in the jungle.
Wait, so he went from the... I was going to say, in Kansas, but he can fly, presumably, right?
It seems that way, yes.
Yeah, because he's a super monkey.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I can't believe they had primates. But I guess that makes sense, doesn't it? If you looked at Krypton biology, because they have people. They have people that look like people.
Yeah, yeah.
Presumably.
Yeah.
We don't see their butts. We don't know what's going on
that's
there.
That's true. Their butts or their junks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wow, what other animals have they got? What other animals stowed away on that ship?
Well, there would have been Streaky the super cat.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Of course.
Krypto, the dog.
He's in the capsule sometimes, depending on the... Well, he was in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, they sent him as a little pet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then there's Ace the Bat Hound.
Of course, but he's not from...
No, absolutely not. He's from the streets.
He's from the streets, yeah. Like Batman, who's from a manor.
And there's a Batman horse and there's a Batman cow.
That's true.
Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
You want to move on?
Yeah, I'm happy to.
Okay, great.
Let's do trailers, Mason. That's right, trailers ahoy. We've got another trailer for Dune 2.
Dune 2.
The Fracas on Arrakis.
Is that new?
I didn't invent that. I thought you did. I thought I was saying a joke that you did back to you.
No, I would have said...
Something better than this, no doubt.
No, I wouldn't have.
You would have thought of the worst thing.
I would have thought for a while.
Yeah.
And then at 3 a.m. I would have woken up screaming.
And you would have said, James, we've got to get back in studio.
That's right.
Yeah.
You would have said, no, it's early. I've been like, yeah, what was I thinking? I'd have to go over there. I don't want to.
Well, anyway, the new trailer, I mean, it continues to look good. Mm-hmm. They're already talking about doing part three, especially if this does well. It got pushed, of course, because of the writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a runtime. Whoa, he dropped his phone. Embarrassing, but he caught it.
I caught it.
That wasn't as embarrassing when you caught it. That was pretty cool, actually.
Very cool. It's one of the coolest things I've ever done. People are going to be talking about this.
I think so.
Remember that time he dropped his phone, but then he caught it?
People will. That might even come up to you in the street.
Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve's longest movie at 2 hours and 46 minutes.
Mm.
So, yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah. Mm. It's got all sorts of different casts of characters, et cetera.
Austin Butler being a real freak.
Yeah.
Apparently in the original books, he's meant to be a beautiful man. He's got beautiful long hair and he's all... like. But they've clearly gone with...
Let's make him look like a sperm.
Well, yeah, exactly. The Harkonnens are all sperm men. So let's make him, the spermiest of them all.
He's so spermy.
I don't
like the look of it.
But my guess would be that they cast him because he's super handsome.
He could do that.
But then they're like, no, we'll keep the aesthetic.
Yeah.
The spermy aesthetic.
Spermy aesthetic. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We also got a trailer for the next Beverly Hills Cop movie.
Oh, speaking of Austin Butler, Disney was going to distribute, there's that movie coming out called The Bike Riders. It's about a bike again.
Oh, and they got rid of it.
And it's got Austin Butler and Tom Hardy just spinning out dozens of incredibly interesting accents.
Yeah.
In that, and Jodie Comer's in it and a bunch of people. Yeah, Disney's just like, no, we don't care anymore.
We don't want this.
We don't care about Austin Butler, the guy who was in that movie that people loved, and Tom Hardy and all these people and whatever.
So now it's
being distributed by somebody else. Yeah. Anyway.
Is it much to your chagrin, would you say?
No, I don't. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, man, you're furious. You dropped your phone earlier when you were just thinking about it.
That's true. That is why I dropped it. I was furious about distribution deals. Warner Brothers is still negotiating with people for that Coyote versus Acme movie.
Yeah, of course they are.
Somebody offered them $20 million. They're like, oh, not enough for this movie we're going to throw away.
Yeah, you were going to lose way more money than that by not releasing it. Weird freaks. Beverly Hills Cop 4 trailer, a Netflix exclusive.
That's right.
The next Arkwell Foley adventure.
That's right.
Eddie Murphy is a 60-year-old man and he's back on the streets.
He's looking good, though.
He's always looking good. Are you a fan of these movies? I haven't seen any of them in a long time.
I haven't seen any of them in a long time.
I remember
either,
liking them and I've seen some of them.
Have you seen 3?
I have seen 3. I remember not hating it. I remember thinking it was all right. Yeah.
Great. Well, that's the push this series needs to become a big hit on Netflix.
And then he made Metro, the movie Metro, which was like serious Eddie Murphy Cop.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
And then he did a bunch of crap.
And then he did that Netflix, what would he do?
He did the...
It's very good.
Yeah, the dude, the guy, the whatever, and he's a filmmaker and it's funny and whatever.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Clearly he's had a good Netflix experience and he's like, well, let's get back in there.
And he did like Dreamgirls and stuff, didn't he? Was he in Dreamgirls?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He did Coming to America 2. That was actually... very bad.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's not a good movie.
That's a shame.
I couldn't finish it.
So what's left in the Eddie Murphy oeuvre?
That he can
come back to, I guess. Shrek, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The Nutty Professor.
Raw. You can put that suit back on.
Norbit.
Norbit and, yep. Mm-hmm.
Dolomite Is My Name. That was the one.
That's the one.
Oh, he did a movie with He did a movie with Jonah Hill called You People.
Oh yeah, fucking I vaguely remember
atrocious.
That.
Atrocious. Okay. And it's not him in it. He's actually quite good in it, but just like if you want a bad movie where the two leads have zero chemistry and they CGI the kiss at the end.
Oh, I remember that.
And,
sure,
and they're saying that's not a chemistry thing. That was just, I don't know what that was.
Okay.
But yeah, just not a good, it's trying to say interesting things about like, you know, interracial relationships or whatever, right, but it just doesn't do anything
between
well.
Eddie Murphy and Jonah Hill.
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
Great. Yeah. Now, I didn't watch this trailer for Beverly Hills Cop
4. Also, it's weird because Jonah Hill's like, I'm dating your daughter, and Jonah Hill looks older than Eddie Murphy.
Right.
It's very weird.
Mm.
Yeah.
I didn't watch this trailer, so are we getting a Judge Reinhold?
Yes.
Nice.
He's got. Has he got the jacket? Yes.
Love that.
Have we got Bronson
Pinchot?
Yes.
Love that.
So, you know, it's all nice. Your classics. Will it be
but
any...
it's his character from The Langoliers.
That's right.
I'm a harried businessman and I have nightmares about monsters that eat the past. Okay. All right, we're going to solve this crime.
Now, if you recall correctly,
yes,
they trialed this as a TV series a few years back.
That's right.
They did a pilot episode where Eddie Murphy's character was the chief of police and it was apparently so bad they never let anybody see it.
Ah.
So now they're doing this.
Great.
Yeah, so there you go.
But this is even worse, so people will see it. Maybe. It's going all, it's horseshoe all the way around.
Oh, my, did you say horseshoe all the way around?
No, horseshoed.
Oh, okay, right.
The horseshoe.
Of horseshit. We also got John Krasinski's next movie, If.
From the Twisted Mind, the imagination of John Krasinski.
It's what if John Krasinski made a live action Pixar movie that was already been made or whatever, I guess.
Monsters, Inc., sure.
Monsters, Inc., sort of, yeah. Ryan Reynolds is a guy and he's like, what's real? And things are real that I didn't think were real.
Now, is this, do you remember Slumberland? Jason Momoa.
Oh, the Jason Momoa one. Yeah. Was that this year? I feel like it was.
That has definitely come out and been and gone. It was on Netflix, I'm pretty sure.
Damn.
Yeah.
Let me look.
I don't know. This is not for us, I don't think. This is a movie for kids, right?
It could go the way of a movie. I was last year, Slumberland. Like a Free Guy, where it's for everybody, you know?
I don't think it works on all levels. I don't think it will. I'm sure they're banking on it because they've got Ryan Reynolds as the main guy. And then they've got Steve Carell as the voice of one of the monsters.
Yeah.
But just an all-star voice cast. And obviously it's from the twisted imagination of John Krasinski.
It's Phoebe Waller-Bridge's in it.
That's right. Will
Gossett Jr., Emily Blunt, Matt Damon.
Well, they've all got a closet in their mansions that they can record the audio for. So.
Sam Rockwell is S-Dog.
Okay, not bad.
Vince Vaughn's in it. A young girl named Beau. B-E-A. Is that Beau?
How are we saying it?
B-E-A.
B-E-A.
Be a good friend.
Love that.
Gains the ability to see people's imaginary friends, referring to them as ifs for short, who have abandoned by the kids they helped. She then discovers that her neighbor, the man upstairs, has the same ability.
Oh, so he's not a spirit man. I was sort of the.
Do you think that's going to be the reveal, though? It's going to like sixth sense of like he's imaginary too.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And he's like, bring me into the real world. I want to get a job
because he's wearing the high pants with the suspenders. And I'm like, well, nobody dresses like that. He's a man of Ryan Reynolds' stature and handsomeness wouldn't dress like that. So he's obviously. I was like, I went through this whole thing and like, oh, he's an imaginary friend showing her the world of imaginary friends. So if that's not the case, then the reveal is definitely going to be that he's an imaginary friend.
Unless they now changed it because everybody's been saying that.
Yeah, because we figured it out.
We did figure it out.
That's
first.
Right.
Yeah.
Your move, whoever made this.
John Krasinski.
Your move, Krasinski.
Yeah.
That's right.
I was talking about that today, like his character in The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's too handsome and he's too smug. What they did with the British version is like their version of Tim or Jim or whatever. He's like a little weird British man.
Sure.
You know, and you can root for that.
Yeah.
Whereas a guy who's like, hey, Dwight, I'll fucking beat you up or whatever.
That's right.
I know that's not what he says, but that's the vibe.
That's the subtext, isn't it? Yeah.
Because
we know that if it really came down to a crunch, he would just beat Dwight.
He played
up.
Like college basketball and whatever. And
Yeah.
I don't know. In my opinion,
he'd put him into like some sort of headlock or arm lock and he'd make him cry.
Watches a lot of MMA.
And everybody would just fall silent in the office and you just hear Dwight's heels squeaking against the floor.
That's right. Oh, man.
And then everybody would be brought into the HR department.
And the other trailer we got, it's for Alex Garland's Toby.
What?
Because he's HR in The Office.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I know, I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Garland's next movie, who wrote the movie Sunshine, which is your favourite movie.
It's your favourite movie.
Ex Machina. What was the last one he did?
Annihilation.
Annihilation.
The movie I didn't get initially. Yep.
He wrote one of the 28.
Oh, Men.
Yeah, he did Men.
Men,
one of the 28 Days Later movies.
The first one?
The first one I think he wrote. Yeah, he's worked a lot with Danny Boyle.
Yeah,
but,
I remember it.
His next movie is called Civil War. Mm. And you might be thinking, didn't we have a Civil War movie in 2016 and Captain America fought Iron Man, Mason?
Well, guess what? This is going to be a boring one.
That's right, exactly. But it's not the boring Civil War in the past.
No.
Boo.
That's right.
It's the modern day Civil War.
Maybe a near future Civil War. Nice.
Damn. So the idea is that the president, if you can believe this, Mason, this is political.
There's almost nothing I wouldn't believe the president would do.
So it's that... He is.
I'll Sleepy Joe.
He's taking over there. Okay, here's the thing about that guy, right?
There's nothing I imagine he wouldn't do in his bloody dreams, am I right?
Let's get into that just quickly, right? Because the idea is.
Yeah, let's get into politics.
Yeah, that he's like, that he's funneling money through various offshore accounts through his son, Hunter Biden.
Oh, is that the case?
Who's just like a fail son fuck up who uses his dad's name to like con businessmen overseas, right?
Okay, sure.
So it's either he's doing that or he's like his brain is fried and he doesn't know what he's doing. It cannot be both, right? So you can't come at it. It's clearly that he's 84 years old.
What's our official stance on
this? It's the really old thing, I assume.
I think it is. I think you're right. I think he's just a really old guy.
He should not be president,
obviously. He's not an off up there.
So, yeah, there you go.
Okay, so what's the president in this movie doing?
I think it's Nick Offerman, and he takes on a third term.
You can't do that.
No.
It's bloody illegal.
In Australia, you can.
Yeah.
You could be prime minister forever.
That's right.
You'd eventually drown. That did happen to one of our prime ministers.
That's right.
He drowned. But yeah, and then obviously the country is divided. It looks like it's got a killer cast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesse Plemons makes an appearance.
Lemo.
Kirsten Dunst makes an appearance.
Dunsto.
Dunst
sounds like Dunstan's checking in.
Yeah, that's right. Nick Offerman is mentioned.
Kirsten as we Dunst. Call her.
Wagner Moura.
Don't know who that is.
You might know. He's from, what's it called? It's that show that people like.
I don't know, James.
He plays.
Don't like any shows.
I'm on his Wikipedia.
Okay, great.
No, that's. Come on, man.
I think the most.
Narcos. He's in Narcos.
Oh, okay.
He's Pablo Escobar. In Narcos, yeah.
Now, and in this trailer, Texas and California have teamed up.
Yeah.
To they're on one side of the Civil War. And I think maybe
people are like, as if.
Well, I think international viewers of that trailer will be like, what have those guys got in common? I think we're just thinking.
Freedom.
We just think about LA, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe it's probably.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, a lot of people are down on this trailer. They're like, boo, Alex Garland, boo. And I think it's just because. I mean, a lot of people on Twitter are down on it.
Yeah.
But I think it's just because Men was not particularly well received.
No.
And a lot of people's, like, memories only go back as far as your previous movie.
That's right. Yeah.
But I mean, like, generally speaking, I think he's had a very good track record.
I completely agree. And which is why you're giving this the stamp of approval.
My two thumbs down stamp of approval.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's right, yeah, right.
Because that's you stamping with your thumb on the table.
That's right. That's my highest ranking available. Two thumbs down.
That hurts.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do this.
I'm not doing it. You're doing it.
No, but you shouldn't do it. I can handle it.
I won't.
Second last bit of news. Hideo Kojima, what's he up to?
That's right.
Video games, tweeting about movies that he saw.
Yeah.
Those two things.
Mm-hmm. Meeting celebrities.
That's true.
Hanging out with celebrities.
And celebrities being really excited to meet him.
That's right.
They love his video games.
That's right.
He through A24, he's going to be making or involved in a Death Stranding adaptation.
Okay.
The game about walking boxes across the wilderness.
That's
or
right. Being an intergalactic UPS man.
Of sorts.
Yeah.
I never played it because that is absolutely not my cup of tea.
Uh-huh, sure.
I know a lot of people seem to be very much into it.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of energy drink product placement in it, apparently.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Norman Reedus is in it. He's
you
carrying
put your poo in a box or something?
Poo in a box. You got a baby in a backpack.
Baby in a backpack, poo in a box. Isn't that the life? That's the travelling life.
Carry
you know?
Your dead mum at one point or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're your own dead mum, maybe.
You're your own dead mum.
I think maybe you're your own dead mum.
I haven't seen it. I'll see this movie probably if it comes out, which
now,
it might
now,
not.
Now, he's involved with this, but he's not. It doesn't say he's directing it, which I feel is what Hideo Kojima wants to do.
Yeah, you might
did
be
you,
right.
Did you? There was an interview quite recently where he was like, oh, when I was a kid, I had all this imagination and I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be a film director, but I didn't know anybody and I didn't have any contacts in the Japanese film industry. And he's like, anyway, now I guess I have to make video games. Like, he wasn't even like, the interview, maybe there's a translation error there, but the interview wasn't like, but then I went and I started making video games and that's actually a wonderful dream as well. And I think that's great. And, you know, I get to channel my creativity. It was, yeah, well, now I have to make video games. I guess this will do.
Yuck.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, does he want to, is he directing this?
I don't believe there's a director attached as of yet. But,
very good.
I don't know. Does he have experience in, I mean, does he direct all the cutscenes from his games? Is he out there in the mocap and being like,
oh,
good job?
Great question.
Have a really slow conversation.
With Conan O'Brien, he's there.
Couldn't have Brian's there?
He's in Death Stranding, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my God, is he Death Stranding?
Yeah, he's Death Stranding, yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
He's Harvard's own Death Stranding.
We've got the last bit of A24 news. Dwayne Johnson is turning things up and teaming up.
Oh, he's turning things up and teaming up?
With Benny Safdie.
One of the Safdie brothers.
To make, but just one.
Sunscreen Safdie brother?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so also.
Yeah, he's from Oppenheimer for The Smashing Machine. Now, The Smashing Machine is a drama based on the story of Mark Kerr, the legendary MMA fighter from the no-hold-barred era of the UFC at the peak of his career. He struggles with addiction, winning, love, and friendship in the year 2000.
So this is the era of UFC where they were like, yeah, you can punch a guy in the nuts if you want.
Yeah, you can wear a gi, and a guy, like a tiny guy in a gi, can fight a sumo wrestler.
Yeah, this is the era when it was like, this is Street Fighter.
Yeah.
This is let's see if a sumo guy can beat a karate guy or
whatever. Let's see if a sumo guy can defeat Blanka.
Exactly. It's the era before they were like, oh, actually, the key to this is just boxing and
weight classes.
Yeah, it's basically just boxing and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Yeah,
get them on the ground.
Get them on the ground and choke them out. Yeah. But this was like, oh, maybe you could win with your 100-hand slap or whatever, E. Honda. You know? You won't.
E. Honda, why are you fighting in a bathhouse? When did they move it out of the bathhouse? Would have been before this, I assume.
Yeah, it would have been before this, I think. Yeah. It's too humid in here.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, boy, I'm getting a bit lightheaded, actually.
Exactly, especially if you're carrying the weight of a sumo wrestler.
Oh, my God, he's doing some sort of big torpedo across the room.
Now, we talked about this when Black Adam came out.
Yeah.
And I said that, and it was kind of mean, but I didn't mean it to come across mean, where I feel like he has the charisma and clearly and the gravitas and the ability to make literally anything.
Yeah.
So why doesn't he make a great movie?
And I actually went on an episode of TOEFOP with Charlie Clawson, and we talked about that at length, the idea of like...
I think you specifically said Benny Safdie as well.
Oh, Modern.
I think you did, yeah.
Oh, Modern.
No, you did. I went back and listened to it.
Did I make this happen?
Yeah, you did.
Are we living in a beautiful dream? Is none of this real?
And the most beautiful part is we don't get any money for it.
Oh,
or you specifically, because it was your idea.
God, there should be a Hollywood bounty system of some kind.
Completely agree.
Right?
Yeah. The Bounty Hunter style.
That's exactly right.
You could say Dog After the Rock. That's a movie.
Yeah, that's a heck of a movie. And we'd get the bounty on that.
No, we wouldn't. You'd have to send a bounty after Dog to get the money because it was your idea.
Damn.
Yeah.
Hollywood's complicated.
It is, isn't it?
Now, on the one hand, we said he's not had vast success in the movies with Black Adam. It didn't change the face of...
No, the whole thing collapsed in on itself.
So in a way,
it did.
I mean,
he wasn't the only reason.
No,
but,
that's true, yeah. But we said, could he maybe, you know, find a creator or a director that can get the most out of him kind of thing? And you know, it's A24 and it's Benny Safdie. But, of course, A24 have recently said...
Yeah.
We're going to go more in a blockbuster direction.
That's right.
And also we were like, maybe The Rock should take a role that isn't just him steamrolling people, and now he's going to be portraying a guy whose nickname is the Smashing Machine. So,
yeah, but there is a tragic story behind it
and
whatever.
Okay.
I am like, because again, one of the things we talked about was like Arnold has Terminator, True Lies, Conan. Yeah. Stallone has Rocky, Rambo, Mr. Race Car Driver, the one where he was his own twin brother and it was a superhero universe and he had a super hammer.
Huh.
Went to streaming. We watched it.
Samaritan. Yes.
Bruce Willis has got Die Hard. Jean-Claude Van Damme has JVCD or whatever. And he also has like Time Cop and Soldier or whatever. So all these like big time action stars from
superheroes to me.
Yeah, they did like a number of really good properties.
Yeah.
And to me, and there are a few exceptions, I think, for like The Rundown is one of them, Pain and Gain.
Yes.
Moana, but it's animated. And like the Jumanji movies are all right, but they're more ensemble. Sam with the Fast and Furious. He doesn't have a thing where you're like, shit, remember that fucking thing that he did and it's an incredible movie?
Yeah.
They're all just, they feel so tailored and like safe.
Yeah.
And I really hope that this is not that. I would love this to be really something special.
Absolutely.
Because he deserves a win, quite frankly.
Does it, because it's based on a real guy though, does it have that? Because all the other ones when you go, a Terminator or what have you, it's a fictional character you can take in any direction, and I wonder if that is there scope for sequels? Is there?
No, I just think it's his like uncut gems probably.
Yeah,
which is good.
That is good,
unless it's bad. In which case,
we never liked it.
What were you thinking?
What were you thinking? The Rock working with A24?
Yeah,
that's not your wheelhouse. Go and do another Jumanji movie.
Just get Dog on the phone as he's lining him up at his sights. Dog. pull back. All right, should we move it along?
Yes.
Is it Wonka time?
It's Wonka time.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Wonka's in cinemas.
That's right. It's wonked its way into cinemas.
It certainly has. On a budget of $125 million. At a box office return, Mason, it's going to make about $35 million in the US this weekend. And last week, up to about now, it's made $46 million in the international other markets.
Okay.
Because that's how the world works. There's the US and then there's international. We're in the international part.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It's not a terrible start. Especially for a musical. Musicals quite often, they do not do well, especially recently.
Which is why they never tell you they're a musical in the trailer.
And I still maintain that I think this could be the, not like a $1 billion kind of property, but just like a slow burn summer here, winter overseas, internationally.
Oh, that sounds very cozy, a slow burn in the, winter.
Oh, my God, you know? Just like the thing that you go and see. You take your family and whatever, it becomes one of those. I don't know. We'll see. Because, you know, what do you think the story was?
Oh, come on, mate.
Yeah.
Bloody blindside me. All right, well, do you remember Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Yes.
Well, what was Willy Wonka like before he had a chocolate factory?
I mean, in it,
different. Illiterate is the answer.
Yeah.
He was illiterate.
And he looked completely different.
And he lived on a boat. Yeah, his hair was different colored.
Yeah.
But he had a velvet coat.
Yeah, but he was nice.
And he was nice, except when he stole.
Yeah.
And then he's going to go out and he's going to make his fortune.
But what if he doesn't?
He will, though.
Oh, yeah. Because he has the factory.
I mean, it's a foregone conclusion, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But maybe he'll have to make some sacrifices.
Does he make some enemies along the way?
Maybe. Mm. Maybe he does. And some friends.
Does he kill anyone?
I don't know. Maybe after the movie, because we don't see any of those characters in the next movie, do we?
Well, Slugworth comes back.
That's true.
We don't see him, but Slugworth reappears. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, Number Wang reunion.
Oh, yeah, he's the number one.
Olivia Colman and Patterson Joseph, he's Slugworth.
You're right.
It's a return of Michelin Webb's.
Well, do you know why?
Yes.
Because the director of this is Paul King.
Okay.
And he directed, of course, the two Paddington movies. And you definitely feel that Paddington kind of good joy and vibe in this. I don't think it's as good as a Paddington movie, but this is way better than I thought it was going to be. And he also directed episodes of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place and The Mighty Boosh.
There you go.
So who's the guy who's the comedian in this as well?
Rich Vulture.
Rich Vulture's in this.
This is a big, I wouldn't say it's a cameo fest, but it's a real.
I mean, if you know that era of British comedy.
Yeah, it's a real who's who of British comedy of that era. We got, is it spoilers to say who's in this?
I don't think so.
Okay, Rowan Atkinson's in this.
Yep. Keegan-Michael Key is not of that era, but he's in it. I liked Kayla Lane as Noodle, the little kid in this.
Mm-hmm. She was fun.
And, of course, we had Timothy Chalamet. Yes. Charlie Meat?
Charlie Meat. That's a great cut of The Butchers. Go in and ask for a Charlie Meat.
Absolutely. You're going to love what you get.
That's right. But anyway, Willy Wonka comes to town. Mm-hmm. Comes to a big-time town.
He goes zippity.
Is it London? I don't know. Or France. It's London or possibly Paris.
Or German.
Maybe it's Germany. Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to make my fortune. But then he quickly ends up in indentured servitude in a workhouse because he can't read.
Yeah.
And then he meets a cast of characters who are all also indentured, but he's like, I'm going to make my chocolate and I'm going to get us all out of here and we're going to have big adventures.
I'm going to do this like Cruella de Vil, the prequel.
That's right. I didn't see it.
As similarities, this is better.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And we're going to sing a few songs.
Yes, we are.
Are we going to put our heart and soul into it? Sometimes.
Yeah.
We're really going to do that sometimes.
This is, it's the Gene Wilder version, right? There are differences because he looks different.
Oh, you're saying it's not going to turn into the Johnny Depp version?
No. Well, I mean, they use a lot of the musical cues and there's words and phrases that cross over into the other movies and whatever, that movie in particular. But I was kind of skeptical about, like, I don't think he has the comedic chops to do like a Gene Wilder-style performance.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't. And when he does try to do like wacky Gene Wilderisms, it falls flat. There's a bit where he's like, listen up and look down or whatever. And it feels really kind
of
like,
that's in one of the trailers and it doesn't really work.
But when he's just doing...
When he's earnest.
Yeah, when he's doing his own
going version. Going to camp.
Yes. When he's doing his own version of this, I thought he was very good in this. I thought he was a lot of fun.
I think this probably, like this survives on the strength of the cast.
Yeah.
Both him and kind of the supporting cast, because you've got to feel like... And again, it's sort of a... Not a pan, it's a melodrama.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, it's essentially, this is a...
It's very melodramatic.
Yeah, and it sort of lives in this world of like, it's chocolate is kind of, it's like the drug trade.
Yeah.
Like
there's a chocolate cartel which is backed by the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I very much enjoy.
It's a sort of somewhat surreal world. I feel like it could be more surreal. Like it sits on the edge of like, it's kind of.
Because chocolate makes you fly or whatever and all of that.
Oh yeah, Willy Wonka's magic also.
Yeah.
They can't, not magic, but he's got like.
He knows, he's got stuff that is magic.
He's got sort of, he's gone around the world and he's found like
all
inexplicable.
All around the world. Blah, 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 blah.
I don't think so.
Chili peppers. You don't think so?
No, I don't think so at all. he's gone around the world and he's found like exotic ingredients for his particular chocolates that make you, you know, they can make you hover or they can make you, you know, have a experience a whole evening in a single bite of a chocolate or what have you. And I, you know, that's a bit of fun.
It is a bit of fun, isn't it?
But I think, you sort of have to buy into this universe. But I think, you know, Matt Lucas is in this.
He is, yeah.
Also, yes. Not David Walliams, interestingly enough.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Who knows? He could be under a wig somewhere.
Could be under a wig. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But how do you feel about the music? You said kind of some of it was magical and some of it was whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it.
Neil Hannon wrote the music.
Maybe it's a function of because we're seeing it on a cinema screen, but it feels like nobody ever really goes all out in it.
Okay.
Like it sort of feels like it's kind of quite an even keel all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's kind of like it feels like. Maybe Chalamet, but, you know, regardless of his skills as a singer, which he seems, you know, It's got a good voice. Everybody who sings, I think, has a good voice in this. But it feels like nobody ever went, should I bring this up to 11? No, you shouldn't. Don't do that. You'll upset people. You'll scare them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It doesn't hit like big. Like, it looks that way a lot of times.
Yeah.
People spinning around in a circle and in the street and cartwheeling over each other in the air.
Yeah,
I see that. I think there are some. There's one song in particular where he does go out and where he's selling his wares and then disappearing into the street. I thought that was probably the strongest new song.
Yeah, there's a sort of a middle bit. There's that bit and there's a scene in his.
It's Moncatorium?
Well, he's Moncatorium, but I think, like, I was going to say, there's not really. This isn't really a movie, I feel like, that has a lot of spoilers in it. Like, no. I don't think I could. Like, there's a moment, like, he wants to build a chocolate shop, and so eventually there's a chocolate shop, and there's a scene where, and it's sort of like his factory in the subsequent movies where, you know, there's a lot of magical things and he can eat
and spin about.
Exactly, and all, you know, the public come in and he sings about all the wonders of chocolate and all the wonderful things that he's got in here. And I was like, that feels like kind of the.
Yeah.
That felt like a. It's been, I watched it on Thursday and we're recording on the Saturday and I currently, nothing has remained in my head. Like none of the songs, no.
Yeah.
But I remember coming out of the cinema and one particular, like that particular song sort of bouncing around. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty solid. I feel people will remember that.
Yes.
You know, with subsequent viewings, I think a few of these will sort of earworm into people's brains. You know?
And also.
In a horrible way.
No, yeah. They also bring back like the Oompa Loompa song and other.
Because we've got Hugh Grant, of course.
Yeah.
And if you've seen any of the trailers, you know that when he wants to regale a story, he has to do it.
A little Oompa Loompa dance.
In the form of the Oompa Loompa dance and song. And once he started, he can't stop. And I thought that was fun. He's good. He's very good in this.
He is.
As lofty.
He hated being in it.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
As he's talked about at length. We talked about this last week.
Why'd you do it then, Hugh Grant?
Why not? Money.
Yeah, money.
I thought he looked good for the most part because it's pretty much just his face. And they replace everything else. There's one moment where he gets on a little hang glider.
For no reason.
For no reason, and that looks kind of like a bit shaky. Mm. But other than that.
That's for the kids though, right?
Sure. I guess they love a shaky moment.
And to sell the Funko Pop where he's got a little jetpack.
Yes. I think, I think Hugh Grant is really good in this, like really fun in this, but it seems like an expensive effect. It doesn't seem like he did too many days on
No.
I thought he was going to be in it like a lot more. But I also liked seeing like where he's from and all of that, and you find out why he's, you know, why he's with Willy Wonka, you know, in particular moments. Olivia Colman, I'm not sure of the actor's name, has a fun little romance subplot, which I thought was pretty amusing.
Matthew Bainton is his name.
There
Fickle
you go,
Gruber.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman is the owner of the workhouse.
Yes,
that is like a laundry, and she tricks people into staying for the night, and then she puts them under a contract where they owe her a bunch of money and et cetera. I'd just kill her.
Yeah, you just
I'd kill her and the guy. I'd kill them both.
Well, it's not that kind of.
Poison the dog, kill them both.
It's not that kind of Johnny Depp musical,
Mason. That's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Sweeney Todd or whatever.
Yeah. I'd be like, actually, if you put an unreasonable line item in a contract, it's not really. Even if you sign it, it doesn't really apply. You'd have to let me know in advance. You'd have to be like, listen, I'm going to charge you $1 million for this. And I'd be like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'll leave. Thank you.
Yeah. How do you feel this movie looked? Were there any like, I thought there's like a giraffe in this and that all looked realistic.
Yeah, sure.
It looked like they filmed in a real cathedral.
Whoa.
I don't know whether they actually did or not, but it looked like a, you know, often you'll get like a big empty space like that, like a Star Wars prequel.
Yeah.
It just looks like a nothing room.
Yeah, there's moments in it because a lot of the action takes place in a sort of, I guess it's a sort of city square, and it's kind of an arcade situation, like where all the shops are and all the, you know, it's the place to be if you want to run a shop and all this sort of stuff, and all the people come from miles around. And some of that looked real, but some of that kind of, again, it looked
depends
like that empty space.
Depends what's going on.
It does depend what's going on, yeah.
There's a moment when he's in his shop and he goes above the clouds and there's like candy fairy floss clouds or whatever, and that kind of looks a bit wonky,
if your mum is
saying so. But I would say on the most part it's got that. It's clearly a very expensive movie. And I wonder, like, when he does have his shop and people are going through it,
because
I know what they did with like the original movie, and I don't know if they did with the Johnny Depp movie. Who cares?
Yes,
but
precisely.
All of that stuff was actually edible in that room.
Oh, for real?
For real? Yeah. There's some exceptions, but I wonder if that's what they were, you know, doing.
Yeah.
For that, and just have people delight in that, and then you capture those moments.
I bet they didn't do that.
You bet nobody was delighting in anything.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think it would have been poisonous and not edible.
Well, that would be the
imagine you're not being poisoned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you want to do some spoilers?
Let's do some spoilers. I'm going to say best movie ever. I thought it was a lot of fun, yeah.
Could be a good, fun family Christmas movie.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of like affecting in an emotional way. And like, oh, this is nice.
Talk a bit about that. Yeah.
I mean, well, again, it's not really... It's primarily I don't think they're as good as kids, I think.
No, and I don't think it's as good as the Paddington movies. Mm-hmm. And he's not directing the next Paddington movie.
Right.
Paul King, but, you know, that's okay, I guess. And Sally Hawkins is not... She's in this.
Yes.
But she's not going to be in the next Paddington. Replacing Paddington mum. And people are not happy. Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Bold.
Are they doing it in story?
They are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Divorce?
No, assassination plot.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, because of the
divorce. That's exciting, though. Yeah, it is, for sure. Yeah, look, I think it was, you know, I thought it was very nice and, you know, it's got a nice resolution and it all works out and, you know, fun for the family, I would imagine.
I was worried upon, like, initial images that they're doing Joker prequel. And then, like, because that's the first thing I saw, I'm like, oh, no. But then, like, seeing who was directing it and whatever, then that kind of this might be something. And it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think my initial thoughts on that were like, oh, I probably would have liked it to lean into the weirder.
Yeah.
But this outcome is pretty good, you know? It's pretty good.
What do you think of that, everyone?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
So his mum is she's a great chocolatier.
Yes, they used to live on a boat together.
Yeah, a beautiful boat.
And they were poor, but she would make a little chocolate for him every year.
Yep.
And that was delightful. And then
she's like, there's one secret to the chocolate, but
I'll write it down.
Don't know.
But I won't teach you how to read.
Yeah.
Because I am cruel. I'm cruel, mum.
And so he never finds out what the secret is. So he dedicates his life to making sweets and chocolates and gum and whatever. And then at the end, and this is just me explaining the end of this movie, I guess.
Yes, sure.
Mr. Sunday Movies explains. Wonka explains.
Nice.
He opens up the bar of chocolate that she left behind and it says the secret to chocolate is that it's who you share it with or whatever.
Yeah, it's not what's in it, yeah.
No, and that was the moment. That actually got me. I'm like, shit, that's pretty, you know, all right.
Did you bring any kids with this?
No, it was just me crying alone in the cinema.
Love that. So pretty typical.
Pretty typical.
You.
That's right. Yeah, it happened when I saw Expendables.
I was going to say that was going to be the example.
But no, I thought that was a really lovely message, and you know, and it's just all about about the people you're with. It's not so much about the chocolate. It's about.
But I wouldn't recommend Mr. Beast's Feastables because I had a couple the other day and they weren't very good.
You said they were dreadful.
I did say they were dreadful. Yeah, chalky and bitter, but bitter for milk chocolate.
Bitter in a bad way.
Yeah, I had the regular milk chocolate and I had the peanut butter and they weren't very good.
God.
Just get a Cadbury's.
Get a Cadbury's, but not a Nestle because they're the worst
company. No,
because
they charge for water. They're trying to privatise water. Yeah,
but they're all the worst, but not that one specifically.
Yeah, Cadbury's probably bad too.
Maybe get the Mr. Beast ones.
Get an artisanal chocolate.
No, Mr. Beast is saving people. I think you should go with Mr. Beast. You're not saving anybody. What do you ever do for capitalism? Nothing. Shut up.
I bought Feastables.
Yeah, you would.
Maybe if he comes out with a
fucking sellout.
Maybe if he comes out with the white Feastables. Maybe I'll change my tune.
Oh.
I know this is technically not chocolate. I don't care.
You seem like you care.
I don't care. I'm fine. I like a white chocolate. I don't even care. It's not real chocolate.
You know what I will say about this movie? First of all, you clearly don't care.
I don't care.
That at the end he just builds the factory.
Yeah, with magic?
Yeah.
Or is that a time lapse? I don't know.
Yeah, it's time lapse, I assume.
No, but see, that's the thing because Lofty. No, because Lofty's like, oh, this seems to be happening in real time.
Yeah, okay. Mm. I guess so.
Oh, also, Willy Wonka's magic, by the way.
Yeah, he's sort of magic. Well, he's sort of magic. He makes magic stuff.
He makes magic stuff.
But it seems to mostly be like technological advancements.
No, but he also has a black hole in his hat.
No, I mean in the next one.
Oh,
like his magic is, like there's floating fizzy drink and...
Yeah, you're right.
You can transmit a boy in TV.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But it's more kind of it's supposed to be at least technological than magic. But this guy's just magic.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. But I think if they do a sequel to this... I think they kind of missed a trick in him, like, setting up the factory.
Right, you know?
And
I think
that could be a story in itself because now he's just got the factory and the chocolate river and the rainbow bridge and all of that.
It's
all there already.
Mm.
And I think if they do a sequel to this, Wonka 2.
If it does well, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Still wonking. Still wonking. Wonk with me, if you will.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fire wonk with me.
Wonk the line?
Yep.
Yeah. Wonking tall?
Sure. Yep.
These are all great.
These are all very good.
Got some reviews here, though.
Okay, I'm ready.
Steven, who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, saw Wonka, and I was surprised by how much I loved it. The cast was great. Timothée Chalamet was actually amazing as young Wonka, and the songs were excellent with nods to the original. Am I crazy to want more? Best movie ever.
You are crazy.
It is great, and it's also selfish.
It is very
selfish. You've had enough.
That's right.
Vodka for this.
That's right. You're a glutton. Let like those little kids who are gluttons for chocolate.
Let other people share.
Oh, and they do Pure Imagination at the end, which I guess you'd have to at this point. But
you got
to. It was pretty good. Pretty good version.
I agree.
I think.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too.
I don't even care.
What happens to all his friends?
They're dead.
Oh, no. Even Ab Crunch?
Even Ab Crunch.
The accountant. His name's Abacus Crunch.
Is it?
Or Ab Crunch.
Oh, that's fun.
Mm.
Nate says, what kind of sorry excuse for a prequel is this? No ham-fisted explanation of his top hat or cane, hardly any nostalgia-baiting callbacks, and most erroneously, absolutely no forward roll. Worst movie ever.
Does he not do any kind of
forward
roll?
I don't remember him do a forward roll.
No.
Don't like that.
Because he's doing a lot of running.
Yeah.
Surely at some point he would have done a forward roll. We'll have to rewatch
Down a drain or whatever.
Down a drain, yeah.
This is from Benson Maid, who says, Wonka showed a great representation of how corrupt big companies of industry can be, but I'm curious to how accurate it is to Roald Dahl's characters. Not sure why Hugh Grant hates it. It's not a worst movie ever. Mm. I mean, he hated it because of the mocap shit.
He had to do some work, sure.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get to do – I bet he signed on expecting he could do his Cockney character that he's been doing for his last few movies. Exactly. The one who's like, you know, the one he's been doing for the last couple of Guy Ritchie movies.
Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
like, no, you have to be posh Hugh Grant. He's like, oh.
And you have to dance and sing. Yeah.
That's right.
And get on a little hang glider.
Mm.
In terms of it being accurate to the original, well, the only real character in this from the original is the Oompa Loompas who have no personality and
sure.
Wonka.
Yeah.
And Wonka's... By the time you get to him and Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, he's fucking insane.
Yeah.
So you don't – I wouldn't say it's particularly accurate, but that's fine because it's –
Maybe that's the evolution. Yeah. Maybe all the chocolate fumes have driven him. The chocolate fumes, like his brain was not prepared for the industrialization of his chocolate. You know, it's too overwhelming. It breaks his brain.
Yeah.
You know?
And, that's
and he falls
fault.
In all that.
And he probably –
Joker style.
And it is acid.
Yeah, we're still waiting. We're still waiting on that. Particular part of the origin. And that bleaches his hair.
That's right.
To Gene Wilder style.
To Gene Wilder hair. Mm. Yeah, great. Should we move it along?
Let's move it along.
What are we doing?
What are we reading?
Yep.
What are we going to read?
Whoa.
That's right.
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today?
Ha! Ha ha! Mason, what are you doing?
It's a big week for TV.
Is it?
Streaming TV.
Streaming a television?
Tell you that much. Okay, so I got two recommendations. As in, I was given two recommendations for this week.
Must be
so
nice.
So I checked out some TV. It was nice.
Yeah, but
it was nice. And they're both Japanese TV series, which
speak
are on Netflix.
Japanese.
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
Because they did this thing called dubbing.
Dubbing?
There's some dubbing. Yeah, yeah.
Like dubstep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just exactly like that. But one's an animated show and one's a live action show.
Oh.
So Blue Eye Samurai. The animated
that's apparently
series
very good.
Is very good. It's good. So I watch one episode each of these shows.
Isn't that getting a second season?
It is already getting a second season. So that's about a kind of an, as the name suggests, and it's sort of set in the period where Japan cut itself off from the rest of the world.
Yes.
So it's featuring this kind of outcast samurai woman who has blue eyes. So everybody's like, you're a devil.
Oh,
real devil.
Okay, all right.
But she's got a quest and she's got a fun sidekick. A fun kind of jovial sidekick, and then the action's good, and a lot pretty violent.
Ooh,
A bit of fun. It's good.
Okay, cool.
And
so
I also watched the first episode of a live action TV series called Yu Yu Hakusho, which apparently is based on anime. So you would know all about it. You've got a blank look in your eyes, like you don't know.
Blank.
But you're the guy who knows everything about anime.
It's not blank, Mason.
You just went into your mind palace.
It's wistful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just thinking about all the things I know about it.
But it's the classic. It's what I think of like when
you're telling. The listeners, this,
the listeners,
I know
yeah,
this,
yeah, you can agree or disagree.
I'll step in when if
that's
you
terrific.
Leave anything out.
So I feel like if somebody goes like cliched anime concept, it's like, well, it's a teenager and he is at a school and he doesn't fit in, and then something happens and he's a monster hunter.
Yeah,
so it's that show. So it's he's like a surly kind of kid who. He doesn't care, but he also does the right thing and what
sure.
have you. And he pushes a kid out of the way of a truck and he gets killed by the truck, and then. In the afterlife, they're like, we're going to bring you back to life as like a monster hunter kind of guy.
And he's like, no, thank you?
Yes, but then he's like, I guess I will.
Yeah.
And then he's fighting monsters. But the action's very good. People might have seen a clip that's been bouncing around Twitter where he's battling like a kind of Red Hulk-style monster on a freeway.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because it looks like – it's like that fast improvisational – actions like a Jackie Chan,
yeah.
Except he's fighting a CGI guy.
Oh,
so
okay.
like, as
what would I type in to find that?
I typed in YYH, just YYH, and then click that media tab, and maybe you'll find something. That's how I found it.
I'm doing it on YouTube.
I love that. That'll work too, probably. But it's a really interesting technical achievement, because when Jackie Chan fights a guy, it's just a guy, and they're like punching their way through car doors and slamming each other in, you know, lockers and what have you. But at this, he's fighting a CGI guy, so it's like it's all the more impressive. But it's really good. Also, and one last thing, reaches back.
Oh my God, isn't he?
Yeah.
What kind of town is he in this time?
A small town.
What do they like about it?
It's mean. Everybody's mean.
Are there secrets?
Some secrets, sure.
So I'm just watching the CGI guy fight. Yeah. Oh, this is fun.
He's fighting the red guy?
He's like a Lou Ferrigno kind of.
Yeah.
Like he's not like he's big, but he's not like crazy
Yeah,
big.
Right. But it's got a weight to it.
This looks awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
I should watch this.
Yeah.
I mean, because I've already seen the original.
Yeah. But it's interesting that it's got a weight to it, whereas like.
He's also not too big.
Yeah. So it feels like he could really, one could take the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I'm just watching now. I'll watch it later,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, you can watch it later. Sorry. Anyway, reaches back and he's punching everybody. I've talked about how much I don't like that The Rock is exclusively just a steamroller, but for some reason I like Alan Ritchson as a steamroller. I don't know why.
I think
it's probably because I haven't been overexposed to Alan Ritchson.
Do it
a million times. Yeah.
I mentioned like I couldn't get through the first season because he doesn't shut the fuck up.
He doesn't, that's true.
Like he's just constantly telling people about different types of plant extracts.
And
whatever.
Let you love Burn Notice, which has the same premise.
I do like Burn Notice. Yes, Mason. Legitimately good show, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I
haven't seen it in a while.
I've rewatched some of it recently, and yes, it is good. Now, what have you been watching or reading?
Sam Esmail has a new film on Netflix called Leave the World Behind.
Oh, right. Yeah,
it's got
Mahershala Ali.
It's got Julia Roberts. It's got Ethan Hawke. It's kind of like, for the synopsis, if you're interested. Bam! Got it! Mosquito,
is that the synopsis?
That's the synopsis.
Bam.
Bam. This family go to stay at an Airbnb, and when they're there in the middle of the night, the owner turns up with his daughter and he's like, I'm sorry, there's been like an emergency, so we came. I am the owner of this Airbnb. Do you mind if we stay? And they're like, well, I don't know. Is there really an emergency or whatever? Is it really the end of the world?
It sounds like 10 Cloverfield Lane.
It's exactly like that. And then John Goodman shows up and he puts someone in a vat of acid.
Whoa.
And it's a bit like, I don't know.
10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yeah, it's a bit like that. I guess there's a bit of The Road in it. It's like there's the suspense of, again, like 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Is this going to be turned into 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yeah.
Is this going to be a Cloverfield movie?
Yeah.
Is it a stealth Cloverfield sequel?
And it's really good. I mean, it's kind of, if you're looking for like definitive answers and like closure, then maybe that's not what you'll find here. But I enjoyed that element of it and I understood it and I knew what everything meant. And
I love that
symbology
and
et cetera.
Sure.
I think it's well worth a look. Sam Esmail also worked on Mr. Robot, and you can see that kind of in here, like the paranoia and what is real and all of that.
Some really
like startling imagery and that going on.
James,
here.
I love startling imagery.
Also,
I'm prepared for it.
Yeah, sure.
If it startles me, I don't care. I don't want that at all.
Also, Bill Burr interviewed Adam Driver this week on his podcast.
Bill Burr did?
Yeah, and it's fun.
Was he talking about the Force dyads and all the...
They didn't get into any of that.
Okay, what is that?
Adam Driver did talk this... We've got a...
Oh, he's releasing Ferrari soon.
Yeah, I think they're friends from like a while back. Oh. And they're a good pair because Adam Driver, and they talk about in this, he's not really like a modern Hollywood guy.
Sure.
Like he's more, and again, they talk about this like a, because he was like, he's a veteran. So he's more kind of like your, like a, I'm trying to think of an actor from like this.
A veteran of the bloody Star Wars.
Well, a lot of actors like real life from like, who were in the 50s, 60s, 70s, they fought in wars.
That's true.
And then they became movie stars. And Adam Driver has that kind of, it's a different era, obviously, but it has that kind of real person vibe about him.
He did something before he was famous.
He did something before he was famous, yeah, right. Exactly.
Sure.
And he's just, I like him. And look, unless he gets cancelled for something, in which case I never did.
Never liked him.
But I just think he's a really, like, compelling person and he's very low-key and he clearly cares about the craft and he also helps veterans through, like, drama and theatre and all of that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Also, there's that weird interview the other day where the actor's like, where the interviewer was like, do you think your career would be different if you were, like, more handsome?
Oh,
and he's like, I look how I look. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how. And I know there was conversations in the past and I've talked about this. We're like, is this guy good looking? He is. I don't know what I was thinking. Well, I think it's girls because when he first shows up in Girls, he's a real creep with a real creep's haircut.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm like, what's this?
Mm.
But he's incredible. Unless he does something bad, in which case he is.
We never liked him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are the things I've been doing.
That's terrific.
And Wonka. Anything else?
Well, there's, in addition to Actors on Actors variety of release, they're Directors on Directors. I haven't watched any of them yet, but I'm excited to watch. It's Greta Gerwig and James Cameron.
Yes.
And James Cameron is live streaming from his submarine or something. I don't know.
Oh, so how's that dynamic?
They're not in the same room. I don't know yet. I don't know.
I didn't know that.
I don't know.
I haven't listened to that one yet. So, yeah. I watched the Downey Jr. Ruffalo one.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think of that?
That was okay. I thought it was a bit...
I think there's a difference. I think
they knew each other too well.
Too well.
I think it would have been better if you, when they pair, like.
Oh, that's interesting.
People who aren't.
I kind of prefer people who have had a lot of history together.
Okay.
Because I think, I kind of feel like some of those, they're a bit, if it's two people who don't know each other very well, it's just like, oh my God, I loved you in this thing. And I loved you in this thing. And there is a lot of that in the ones where they do know each other. But I think there's also, it's sort of.
Bit of banter, mate.
There's a bit of banter, you know? Bit of banter, mate. Yeah. That's exactly right.
It's not bad by any stretch. Don't get me wrong. It was also, actually, it was interesting to hear about, like, Robert Downey Jr., where he is at this point, because he was kind of like an indie guy. You know, he won an Oscar. He ended up in TV and then he ended up in prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then coming back from that, biggest movie star in the world. And then what do you do next?
Yeah.
And first he does, like, Dr. Dolittle, which is terrible. And then he's doing like Oppenheimer and whatever. I think that's really interesting where he's still pushing
himself. And Robert Downey Jr.'s big old cars or whatever.
Exactly. You know? Come and look at this big old car. What do you think? Don't touch it. I could replace it. And you.
That's right.
Yeah, so there you go. Anything else?
That's everything, I think.
Next segment.
Next segment. Nah. It's time for it. What's the volume set to? We don't know.
You said 3/4 of the way up.
No, but then I think it's maybe more.
No, you made this mistake last week.
Start the letters. Classic one
was
the letters.
Okay. Where's it at?
This is about 9/10. 8/10? 4/5.
Those fractions are the same, basically.
That's right. I'll say anything. You got any letters?
I do, but if you want to reach the show, you can hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter.
That's right.
Or WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com. I've got one here ready to go if you want, Mason.
Please do.
It's from Phenomenon.
I love that.
It says hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod and it says thoughts. And this is via Screen Crush. Adam Driver says Kylo Ren's arc was originally planned to be totally different. So I think Daisy really also talked about this week with her character. But basically the idea of Kylo Ren initially was that...
And we're talking prior to the release of The Force Awakens.
Yeah. Oh, even then, I think it was still going to be the through line until Rise of Skywalker, was that he was the opposite of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Where he was conflicted and like, and then he becomes the most evil man in the galaxy.
Luke Ground Shuffler.
Very good.
Yes!
That's
good. Put that on a t-shirt.
You should have said crawler, but shuffler's way funnier.
Yeah.
Shuffle it in the dirt.
Puke Ground Shuffler. Put that on a t-shirt, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And they just kept changing it. And then,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Where would you want of it to have gone?
I think there is something to be said for him coming back around to Ben Solo, but it didn't feel earned. Also, he didn't say anything as Ben Solo.
What I wanted for Rise of Skywalker was him and Rey to be like – to abandon the whole thing and just be like, well, maybe we'll take over the galaxy or like not, or just like be in a position where we have all this power and maybe like Kylo Ren is like, you know, and they're together and they have that connection. So they feel like they should be doing something together. And then maybe Kylo Ren's like, we should take over the empire.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, no, but then there's a...
Let's live in a weird stone temple.
Yeah, so there'd be like an internal conflict, but they both feel like they need to be together, so there needs to be some sort of consensus and there's the tension is there.
And then it goes...
Exactly. It's never resolved. Yeah, sure. Oh, my God, just...
They did episode 7 and then went, I don't know.
Yeah.
They probably figured it out.
Yeah, because that's what I feel... That's where I feel like The Last Jedi was going, but, you know...
Well, they all felt like they were going somewhere, didn't they?
They all felt like they were going somewhere. No, the last one never felt like it was going anywhere.
That was. Yeah. I still maintain that, like, if that last one had have sticked the landing, it would have been a very different opinion on these movies.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people, if we're talking this to death, but, like, who don't like The Last Jedi.
Yes.
But still are like, well, at least it had a point or it tried to make a point and did something.
Yeah.
Whereas that last one was just like, oh, the Emperor's back.
Yeah, it was overcorrecting to try and make everyone happy.
Han Solo's a ghost.
It's such a fascinating piece of
Luke
media.
Luke caught the lightsaber, he threw it, but now he caught it. He loves lightsabers
exactly.
now.
Like, it tried to... It's fascinating that they spent hundreds of millions of dollars in an attempt to placate everyone, and everyone hated it. I think that's yeah, really interesting. Fun. Like, just such a fascinating case on... And I don't know if there's any behind this, like, if there's any, like, real behind-the-scenes...
No.
...info or, like... But I would love in you
it's
know...
It's just rushed as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, in decades to come, like, the you know, like that history of the MCU book that came out recently, just a bunch of interviews with people going, it was going to be this and then this yeah. happened and then we had this meeting and everybody was panicking and I would just love to hear about that.
Every ship's a Death Star.
Yeah.
Everyone can destroy a planet. The Emperor shoots lightning and he goes, this is my place.
Mm.
But then Lando shows up and he's with everybody in the galaxy. He brings them all.
Because he can do that. Because last time they wanted everybody in the galaxy.
They didn't
nobody
come.
Showed. They didn't come.
They didn't want to come. They were busy.
But they didn't see Lando.
They
he's
slept
cool.
in. And now right. he's here and he's like, wahoo. And guess Wedge is there? And Wedge is from original Star Wars. Is he in an X-Wing? No. But he's there. A girl kisses another girl. We cut it out.
We can cut that. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
The Chinese market.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Chewbacca gets a medal. Remember, people say that he didn't get a medal. But
I mean, I said we killed him earlier in the movie, but I forgot to say we only killed him for like 45 seconds, and then yeah. we brought him back.
Yeah, Knights of Ren, they're there.
Remember them?
He killed Ben Solo. He kills them all. He had a lightsaber. And it's Luke's.
He had it behind his back, I guess. I don't know.
They used the Force.
This is two guys, and they're pitching it, and they're panicking. They went out drinking the previous night and they swore they were going to write the pitch when they got home, but they forgot.
Zori Bliss. Is that anything? New character.
There's a little guy.
Oh, yeah.
Littler than you've ever seen.
He goes, wah!
He's so little.
BB-8 has an even littler friend. You know, he's little. People like that. We're going even littler. He's a triangle on a wheel. We'll sell a billion toys.
Anyway. They had fun. It seems like they had fun on the shoot, you know?
They seem to.
Yeah, they had a lot of fun.
It is fun because, like, watching the behinds and scenes of that, because it looks good.
Yeah.
And it's just people just pouring themselves into this thing that's just nothing.
Just giving them nothing back. Yeah. And that's beautiful.
Anyway, you got a letter?
Yeah, here's one from JT Cunningham.
Hello.
He says, thanks, boys.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hi, James and Mesa. I've been listening to the pod for a full year and just wanted to say I love what you guys do. Makes life a little easier to get through and it's the best part of my Monday.
Whoa.
Thanks, boys.
Thank you.
He reiterates, thanks, boys, there.
Double thanks.
Double thanks.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much. And thank you for spending your Monday with us.
That's right.
From William, who says, hi, James and Meso.
Hi.
Hope you are well.
James also says hi.
Yeah.
We are well.
Ah, yeah.
James is also well,
I think. I'm well. I'm all right.
Yeah.
What your current...
He's not 100%, obviously.
No, I'm not. What are your current excitement levels for Rocksteady's Suicide Squad? I mean, we're listening to your pod from the start, and the first episode discussed what Rocksteady might do next.
Oh.
Puts into context how long it's been. Thanks. That's true. It's been a long time.
I really like the look of it. I like the traversal,
yep.
I like the storyline, I like the look of all the characters, but as I understand it, it's a live service game and I'm not interested in that.
Or they're
at all.
Gutting that stuff out of it.
Oh, they are, maybe they
maybe,
are.
Maybe, I don't know. And it's okay. Also, they're like, don't worry, it's not going to be online, you don't have to be online to play it. But it will be initially,
yep.
But then we'll fix that.
Yeah, sure.
And like,
sure.
It doesn't really matter at this point for me because, you know, we all have internet, presumably.
Mm.
But it's still like... You know when you open a game and it's like, do you want to sign up for EA's special thing? And then do you want to do this? Well, you need to be a member of whatever.
Oh, I had all
it's
that,
like,
yep.
I just fucking, God, can I just blow on a cartridge and like just jam it into a fucking console?
Mm.
Every time I turn on my PlayStation, it tells me that there's a firmware update. But it all looks the same anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It's just the updates in a way that I don't. Just do it in the background.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Mm. Cautiously optimistic is what I'm saying.
I won't get it. I think if it comes out that it's exceptional, I'll wait till it's... I still haven't finished Spider-Man and I want to play RoboCop.
Right,
and then I'll get to it exceptional.
If it's exceptional.
Yeah.
And they're not like the live service elements are dragging it down and they will not take them out.
Yep. I'm just not interested.
Here's an email from Labat Man.
Hello.
A very Merry Christmas and a two-part question.
Oh.
Dear James and Mace, I wanted to say thanks. I've never had so much fun listening or watching something for so long as I have you two. Patreon was a no-brainer for me.
Oh.
I've even converted my wife to your madness. A two-part question. Is there a movie that each of you hate that everyone else loves? Is there also a movie you love that everyone hates? He said, for me, I love Guy Ritchie's Excalibur. Don't have any idea why, but I do. And he says, I really hated Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie's Excalibur. Was that what that movie? I thought that movie was called King Arthur.
Well, now it's Guy Ritchie's Excalibur.
Let me check that.
Guy Ritchie's Extreme Excalibur.
It's called King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Oh. Depending, I mean, maybe it had a different title, like elsewhere.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's like Cockney mates King Arthur. Have you seen it? All these mates are like, it's like Guy Ritchie dialogue.
Oh, right.
Like, no, oh, yeah. But they're all just.
How have you seen it?
I've seen it.
Why, though?
Why?
Did you have to?
No. I think I just saw it.
You cannot have seen it at the cinemas. There's no way.
I like, speaking of these kind of movies, I like that stupid fucking Robin Hood prequel with Taron Egerton.
Oh, yes, sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. That was not well received, if I recall, yeah.
No, because it was just Batman Begins. They even did Two-Face at the end.
That's right.
But what's a movie that I love that everyone hates? Or vice versa?
Yeah, right.
I hate that everyone loves.
Oh.
We often talk about Heat. How we didn't love the movie Heat.
Oh, yeah, that's
but
right.
But I want to rewatch Heat because I think that's wrong. I think I'm wrong.
I'm not sure exactly. I think a lot of that stuff, yeah, like we probably, when that came out, I would have been like 15 or something.
Yeah.
So it's no surprise that I probably didn't enjoy it.
Because
also the action in that is like fairly, it's few, the action sequences are fairly few and far between, yeah. I think. I think I was probably expecting nonstop action, but instead it was like a grown-up movie for grown-ups.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
I did have one and now it's gone in my head. No, it was the movie Heat.
That's great.
Fuck, what was it?
James, we have unlimited time. Don't even worry about it. What if you just Googled great movies and then we'll go yes or no?
We'll go through all the great movies.
Yeah, great movies.
I'm getting further away from it. I can feel my brain moving away from it. It's fucking gone.
Movies that are great. Was it a movie that everybody says is great but you think is bad?
I think it was the other way around.
So everybody thinks it's bad but you think it's good.
Yeah.
I quite like Black Adam. I've said that before. And I stand by it.
It just came back.
I know.
Then you said Black Adam.
Okay, movies that are bad, everyone says is bad, but you think are great.
That's God again. I don't know. God, that's going to bother me for the rest of my life.
People should email in, though.
Yeah.
I think that's a fine topic.
Yeah, and my brain keeps saying Highlander 2, but I'm like, I haven't even seen Highlander 2.
I like Highlander 4.
I know you do.
I don't know if that's...
Is that The Quickening or is that a different
one? No, that's Highlander 2.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's Highlander 3, The Sorcerer.
Yeah.
And it's Highlander 4, Endgame.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
But they should have called it Continue Game.
And then it's
going.
Highlander 5, The Source, and that one's really bad. Atrocious.
Source. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because nobody's got The Source. That's
they
the
don't
thing.
Have it. The juice.
They don't have The Source or The Juice.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is from Deej. He says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, I keep seeing the debate of who will win in a fight, Superman, Omni-Man, Homelander. Personally, I think Homelander is out first, then Omni-Man would have a great fight, but I'm taking Superman all day. Thoughts? Yeah, Homelander's like a coward as well.
Yeah.
And he can't actually fight. He's the strongest.
Like, he's only strong in comparison to the rest of the Supes and the boys.
There is
no comparison between him and Superman.
No.
I mean, if it's a fight to the death, it's... Homeland is dead immediately.
Yeah.
And then it's Superman and Omni-Man.
And I think the thing about the characters in Invincible, even the really strong ones, they can all be impaled. They're strong, but they're not – they seem to be – they're not as durable as they are strong.
Yeah. Like if you threw Superman onto like a exposed sharp pipe or something, the pipe would break.
Yeah.
He wouldn't break. But Omni-Man probably – it'd go through
and
him,
they
right?
still keep fighting for a little bit. But
yeah.
I think it is Superman.
And Superman also, like, I don't, you know, I suppose it depends who's writing.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, we're writing this one.
We are writing this, so it's Superman.
Yeah.
But, you know, Omni-Man would, like, they'd probably, if this was being written into an official crossover, Omni-Man would maybe get in with a few, you know, it would be a good fight, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately Superman wins because he is the guardian of all that's good. And
he also has more powers.
He also has heat vision and Omni-Man does not have that.
No,
so.
He doesn't have all that stuff, that extra guff.
That's right.
Put another letter, Mason.
I'll find another letter.
Well, I think of that another thing. I'll just go into my mind palace.
Go into your mind palace.
It was something to do with Heat. It was like a Heat-ish movie.
Oh. Crime? Guy Ritchie.
Might have been.
Robert De Niro? Val Kilmer?
No. Maybe it was the movie Tombstone. I love that movie and no one loves that movie.
Maybe.
No, that's everyone.
Apparently
loves that movie.
Kurt Russell mostly
directed
that
movie.
Have we talked about that?
I don't think we've talked about it, but yeah, and I think he only acknowledged it after the director died.
Yeah, I read an interview recently where he's like
It's weird that he hasn't really directed much though,
yeah.
Because that's an incredible
So the
movie.
Exact I think the words he used were something along the lines of if I wasn't part of this movie, it wouldn't have gotten made, basically. Because
yeah,
he's
sure.
like, well, yeah.
This wasn't it, but there's a movie I love called The Replacements with Keanu Reeves. It's got Gene Hackman.
Is that a sports movie?
Sports movie, yeah. It's about the American football players, some team go on strike, so they bring in replacement players, scabs, and one of them's like Keanu Reeves, and there's like a Reese Ephens is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like a series of like weirdos. Jon Favreau is one of them.
Oh.
And it's just like a weird sports comedy that I just always really, really liked, and nobody I mean, it's not liked, but it's not like it's not talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's exceptional, it's very funny from memory, or
very
it isn't.
Good. Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Here's an email from Scott.
Scott,
this is our last email. Hi, James and Meso. I've been a fan of the Mr. Sunday Movies channel since I was 11.
Whoa, that's
I became
not
a Weekly
true.
Planet listener in 2020, and now I'm 18. Listen to the podcast every week. My question for you guys is, since you guys dropped your Godzilla versus Kong caravan of garbage and there's a part about podcasts, what is the Weekly Planet in the Monsterverse like? Do we even discuss it?
I don't know, because we don't exclusively, but a lot of like world topics we don't talk about.
Yeah, because it's current events, right? Yeah.
But
it's also monsters.
It comes in and like it'll sneak in, you know, every now and then we'll have to talk about a real world thing, or I'll just go on a tangent because I'm a lunatic.
Yeah, right.
About a real world thing.
Mm.
But I think it would come up.
But also, so, you know,
it's basically like a disaster, like an earthquake every few weeks.
Because you know how in Watchmen, because superheroes already exist, there aren't superhero comic books because nobody's interested in that stuff. So it's pirate comic books.
Yes.
Now, I'm not sure if that would be true. I would imagine if there were real superheroes in the real world, we'd still make superhero comics because it's inherently quite interesting.
Because we've got real world comics about boring things.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I reckon we'd be more documentary featured because there'd be a lot of giant monster documentaries, right?
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
I think we'd be more conspiracy based.
Yeah.
I know we made fun of that guy who has his podcast in Godzilla vs. Kong.
Oh, right? I thought you meant podcast from the Ghostbusters movie, that character named Podcast.
That's exactly right.
From Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah. Mm. I think we would probably do, I reckon we might do like video analysis of like monster attacks.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't shock me if we did that. You know, things you missed about that latest monster attack.
No, I feel like I wouldn't bother because there's people who would be way better than it.
Right.
Because there's like a technical level to that and a knowledge of like infrastructure and buildings and creatures that
we would summarize. We would watch other people's videos and we would summarize.
In an amusing way, I think. But also like, that would be like now if there was an airplane crash or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, so this is how it happened, I think. Like, I don't feel true, like I would be comfortable with being
right.
Like,
okay.
So this is how 9/11 really happened, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
I don't think I would be doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't talk about, like, animal attacks.
No.
But just because these things are way bigger.
Yeah.
Would we talk about them?
It depends if it was new. Like, if it just started happening, I think we'd be like, damn. But if, like, we grew up with it, it'd be like, this again. It's annoying.
Sure, yeah.
It's annoying we can't podcast because a giant crab stepped on the little studio that we have.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be an episode.
We'd have to use the backup recorder because I keep it in my car most of the time. So
as long as a big crab doesn't step on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Mm.
Would there even be superhero movies in a world with giant monsters?
I think so. Yeah. Also, if you look at like, watch the like Shazam, there's a bunch of like Batman merch and comics.
That's
and
true,
shit,
yeah.
Like in that universe. So yeah, I think there would be in the real world, you know? Mm-hmm. You know? And that's fun.
That is fun. I love having fun.
Anything else?
No, that's the whole show.
Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
What are we, like, mid-December?
Oh, what are we like? What are we bloody like?
Bit over mid-December, yeah. Cool, man.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We bloody love it. A couple more weeks left in the year. We're going to do some big-time pods, so don't miss out on those.
Mason, what we could do
for
next week, because it's Aquaman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, cutting into this. We actually can see it on Christmas Day here.
Oh.
So what we could do is, depending on what Collings' availability or I can edit it, is where we see it later.
Okay.
And then we release this like Boxing Day, which would be on the Tuesday as opposed to the Monday, because Monday is Christmas Day.
I am working Christmas Day.
You fuck. Who's making you do that? Your Uncle Scrooge?
Yeah, my Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah.
So we'll figure
something. Well, we could even do it. We could record a Boxing Day even and release it then.
That's true.
And I could edit it.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, something to think about.
That is very.
Or we won't. Or we'll leave it for the next week.
Yeah, that's right. Who knows?
Because there's also Rebel Moon, isn't there?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
Days are imaginary, aren't they?
Maybe we just won't review Aquaman 2 because who cares?
Wow.
Anyway.
It's not even playing at my local cinema, James.
Oh,
they just couldn't be bothered.
No, they're too art housey. Your mates over there.
Yeah, my mates.
Everyone's wearing a top hat and tails.
That's right.
Yeah. They're always ushering me out onto the street.
You did a broom emotion then.
Yeah, with a broom.
With a broom. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice.
You know it.
If you do that, James might read out your review, right?
Just like this one from Average Jonas, who says, pick this one, James. 5 stars, by the way. Wow, what a podcast. By far the easiest and funniest way to keep up to date on movies and TV show news. I haven't had to read an article since 2014, thanks to these delightful boys. You should, though, because we're missing them. We're missing a lot of stuff. Mason nearly dropped his phone again.
But then I caught it again.
No, he didn't. He just slapped it onto the table. And this one's from Johnny Stitches, who says, great show. And this one, too.
Thanks, Johnny Stitches.
Two favourite Australians. They have a lot of hot scoops with little shots of poops, especially when they're shooting up the defenders of the butthole. My favourite thing about them is the fact they love serialised podcast, drama podcast that they have made the official horror drama podcast of the show. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
This is a little plug. This is a secret little plug from this guy.
Keep making big sandwiches, Johnny Stitches from Mortson, Texas. So that's the podcast is called Siren Aside. That must be official. Unless it's bad and rude, in which case
we never liked it.
We never liked it.
But that's basically our seal of approval. That's to say we liked something unless it got cancelled, then we never liked it.
Yeah.
Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord to have fun, civil chats about podcasts and pop culture. Thank you to Fidel and Maisie and Surabi for moderating over there and doing the TikToks. There's a TikTok.
I wish we knew how they did it.
I don't know. There's a Weekly Planet Clips channel. How do they do it?
I don't know.
We don't know. If you want to follow some people on the socials, first follow our friend Rob Collings. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. He'll keep you up to date on all things The Weekly Planet.
I don't know.
I don't know either, man. But even so, you can follow me on Wikipedia, on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown and on Instagram, Nick Maso. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. If you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. Chucking a buck on a man you would not miss.
Mm-mm.
That's the key.
That is the key. That is the key.
Or if you've got big time money, you can go to bigsandwich.co for $9 per month. Bonus podcast, movie commentaries, early videos, video game let's plays, all sorts of stuff. You wouldn't believe it.
You couldn't.
You wouldn't bloody believe it.
It's so long. We've been doing it for like 3 years now. There's so much stuff, man.
There's so much stuff there.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. Buy a t-shirt at TeePublic, why don't you? Is it too late for Christmas shipping? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Not too late for next Christmas shipping.
Not too late. That's true. Order extra slow shipping. It costs more, but it's worth it.
Absolutely. Because you will get it Christmas. No, probably Boxing Day next year.
Boxing Day next year. Yeah. Or you could, you know, people love New Year's Day presents.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not too late for that, you know?
Yeah,
Happy New Year's Day, you say to them, and you give them a T-shirt. Now, what did you get me for New Year's Day present?
Watch them panic. Yeah.
And they get mad at them.
That's right.
And that's the whole show next week, whatever the thing we said was.
Yeah.
Rebel Moon.
At least Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon.
We don't have to leave our houses to watch it.
Rebel Moon.
That's right.
Maybe we'll just skip Aquaman.
Oh, no, I want to watch Aquaman.
I mean, we could. I mean, in terms of like reviewing it on the show.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know? Yeah, I will see it.
Okay, great.
At some point.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Grab that Jimmy, guys. We'll see you real soon.
Maybe it's amazing.
I mean.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.